I can remember as a child going to church with my grandparents over in the Florence area at the Woodlawn congregation, and out beside the building there were a series of tables that were made out of cinder block with concrete slab tops. There are other congregations of the Lord's Church that I've seen had a very similar arrangement before we had larger facilities and fellowship buildings, and frequently there would be something that would be called dinner on the ground, meaning that you ate outside, you brought your food, and you had dinner on the ground. And I think many of us have a lot of great memories of those kind of events, and we have still great memories of dinner inside the building, you know, on the linoleum. But there were more than one time through history, as you think about various individuals, and maybe you think about even yourself, that maybe bringing those dishes from the trunk of the car to the table, something got a little unbalanced, something was a little heavy on the tray, and suddenly there was a whole new meaning to dinner on the ground. And yet we have such fond memories of such things. You know, we have a biblical precedent for dinner on the ground. We studied it this morning, and we're going to look at it again in John 6. And there we find Jesus feeding 5,000 people, and he instructed his disciples to make everybody sit down. And it's obvious that someone with an eyewitness memory was there, because in John's account, he says there was much grass there. So they had dinner on the ground when Jesus fed them in John chapter 6. And what we're really going to focus on tonight, as we think about the unnamed, name not even known, individual in this incident. There's a little boy there who has the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He's brought to Jesus by Andrew. We don't know his name. We don't know exactly where he came from, but we know the other accounts tell us that there were women and children there, so he was perhaps among one of them. But tonight we're going to spend a little bit of time learning some lessons from that little boy at a dinner on the ground. And as you do that, I have about 5 or so written down. Maybe there are other things that you could think of to add to it, but there are lessons, I think, from this text that are intended to bless us as we analyze it and we look at John 6 once again. We read a great deal of the text this morning, but I want to remind you of the part of the text that brings our little boy or our young man into the scenario. In the text, at verse 5, John 6, verse 5, now Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where may we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" It is at this point that Jesus tells the disciples to make the people sit down. They divide into the groups, and then the food is distributed, and they eat more than enough. Great lessons from our story from the Bible tonight. Number one, lesson number one, give what you have to Jesus. We are thinking about the young boy primarily as we work through these lessons, but there is much more than just application from him, and we can learn from others besides him. But primarily, we're thinking about this young man, and as we think about that, number one, give what you have to Jesus. The little boy, the young boy, as some translations say, the lad, I think some of the parallel accounts say, little boy or little lad, seem to indicate that he is not a grown man, obviously, perhaps not even a teenager, but a very young man. And he's willing to share the food that he has. He's willing to give what he has to Jesus and to share his food. That's not always an easy thing to do, but he was willing to do it. it may seem like a little, particularly compared to the very large crowd of 5,000 plus people who were there. But with God, a little is a lot when we're willing to share. And to God's faithful, we have to understand that even though this may seem like a little, to those who want to share what they have with Jesus, to those who are God's faithful and those who want to follow Him, we have to understand, we're not in charge, as someone has once said, we're not in charge of the manufacturing. We're only in charge of the distribution. And so this young man was going to be involved in the distribution. And I also, something crossed my mind as I thought about that it was such a small amount, but he was still willing to share what it was and to give it to Jesus. After all, what can we give to God that's more than He already has? God owns it all. And so really, anything we give to God, any offering, anything we share with the Lord, really is small, isn't it? Because what can we give to God that's more than He already has? And I want you to notice that when Andrew brought this boy to the Lord, that Jesus did not ridicule him, saying, you got to be kidding. Jesus did not reject him and say, forget it, that's never going to work. Andrew said that. Andrew said, what is this among so many? But the Lord neither rejected nor ridiculed this young boy who was willing to share what he had with the Lord, and to share his meal, and to share it with others. And so we need to keep in mind that all our offerings are just about like 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I think it's also interesting that when we parallel this story with another one that we're very familiar with in the Bible, found in Luke 21, that Jesus commends and seems to be regarded as more significant the small offering than the large offering. Because in Luke 21, we read about a widow who gave a very small offering as far as monetary value is concerned, and yet Jesus commended her and said she gave more than those who gave monetarily, far exceeding more than she had given. And so Jesus does not is that we should use what we have to bless others. Use what you have to bless others through Jesus. You see, we can tremendously bless others through Jesus. And the Lord wants us to use what we have to bless others through Him. This little boy, I'm sure, could have never imagined. I just realized that I'm not on here, or am I? There we go. this little boy could have never imagined what was going to happen with the food that he shared. No one there could have imagined what was going to happen with the food that this little boy was willing to share. Very few knew who the boy was. Very few knew of him. And as you think about that food being distributed out to those thousands of people who were there and hundreds of people who were there in those different groups, very few knew where it came from. And by that I mean very few knew that it came from this little boy. Oh, there were some who did, I'm sure, but very few knew that they could directly connect it with a little boy who had just a few things in a basket. You see, as I think about that, I think about how indebted we are to the unknown to us, generous brethren who have gone ahead of us. We need to realize it. We need to realize how generous those have been ahead of us, people that we don't know, people that we possibly could never find out who they are. Led singing for the meeting, and at the end of the meeting, which was several days long, they paid him $30. Now, when Tom Holland was a young boy several decades ago, that was a lot of money. And he was so encouraged and so blessed by receiving that very generous amount of money. Years and years. Things that he recorded. And so with great interest, Brother Tom began to read in those books, and he read about different things the church had gone through and been through and different resources that had been used and employed. And lo and behold, he came up on the time frame where that gospel meeting had been preached, where he led singing so many years before. And he saw the notation there that he was paid $30. And there's the check number and the date for preaching in that gospel meeting. I mean, for leading singing in that gospel meeting. And then beside that, a note was written. And the note written beside that, the first time Brother Tom learned this, his own father had given the $30 to the church for the purpose of giving it to Tom for leading singing. He had never known that all those years. You see, he was now indebted to this great thing his father had done for him, and he never knew it. Think how often you and I never know about great blessings that we receive now. We never know who provided them, who gave them to us, where they came from, but we are indebted because of the generosity of someone else. Those 5,000 people were indebted to the generosity of a little boy who was willing to share. There's a couple of other passages, I think, that will support us in this. And I think my wireless mic has gone out on me, so I'm going to use this one a little more now. But I want you to turn, if you will, in your Bible to James chapter 2 and 1 John chapter 3. They're fairly close together in the Scriptures, but James chapter 2 and 1 John chapter 3, as we think about blessing others, using what we have to bless others through Jesus. And Billy's going to bring me some batteries here so we may be able to get ourselves back on par here. But as we look at these passages that I have referred to, James chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. James 2, 14 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit?" Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You see, here was a young man who perhaps many years before, obviously many years before these words were written by James, understood sharing what he had with others. As you look at 1 John chapter 3, you read these words in 1 John 3, verse 16 and following. 1 John 3:16. "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth." You see, the lesson I learned from this little boy, the second lesson I learned from this little boy, is to use what I have to bless others through Jesus. We continue on, number three, as we look at our text in John chapter 6. Let us express thankfulness for what we have. Express thankfulness for what we have. It is, I think, no accident. In fact, I think it is significant that all four accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of Jesus' life, all four of the biographies of Jesus mention very specifically that before Jesus distributed the food out to the multitudes, all four of them mention he gave thanks. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and he blessed what he had. Some of the accounts say. And I think it is very significant, perhaps, that John mentions twice in verse 11 and verse 23 that Jesus gave thanks. So let's be thankful for what we have. In Matthew chapter 6, as Jesus is giving for us and teaching us what we would probably best call the model prayer, one of the things that he mentions in that model prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." Thanks. An attitude of prayer and thankfulness for what we have and thankfulness for our food. As children of God, we should never be ashamed to be thankful for our food. As children of God, we should always be grateful and thankful as when we eat a meal. We have the great example of Jesus here. Before he fed others, he prayed and he gave thanks for what they had. And so let us take that example of Jesus. Let us take this example from the story that we're reading and realize, always be thankful for what you have. What a great blessing we have of food, clothing, shelter, material things, and on and on and on the list could go. And so let's always be thankful for what we have, but specifically from our text in John 6, let's be thankful for our food. Let's bless it. Let's give thanks for it in a very positive way, in a very consistent way, every time we eat. Number four, work with what you have. Work with what you have. Jesus invites and encourages us to be a part of his work. To his disciples on this occasion, when you look at the accounts parallel to this in Mark and Luke, Jesus told the disciples, "You give them something to eat." Again, from John 6, we learn he was testing them, but he specifies you. You give them something to eat. You do something about the situation that lies before us. You give them something. And we're making the application work with what you have. The little boy had very little. 5 loaves, 2 fish. But he was willing to let it be used and have a great opportunity to share and be part of the great work that this great teacher was involved in. And he's willing to work with what he had for Jesus and for the blessing of other people. The disciples found him, apparently, after Jesus told them. We look at Mark 6 in verse 38. Jesus asked them, how much food do we have? Go and see. And apparently, that's when they found this little boy. They went to see. Andrew is credited in John 6 with finding the little boy and bringing him to Jesus. So, again, Jesus wants us to be part of his work. Jesus encourages us to be part of his work. He says, you give them something to eat. How much do we have? Go and see. Jesus encourages us to be a part of it. The disciples initially wanted to do nothing. I don't think they were trying to be cruel or awful here. They were just simply saying, this is too big a problem for us to do anything about. So just send everybody away. Let them get their own provisions. Let them get their own food. Let them take care of themselves. The disciples wanted to do nothing. Jesus told them what? Try. Go and see. Go and see. Jesus told them, you do something. Don't give up. Don't do nothing. Jesus involves us in his work. When we, again, look at the account in our main text in John 6 and the parallels in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we see that Jesus told the disciples, now you go and tell the multitudes to sit down. And they were divided up into groups of various sizes so they could handle the situation just a little better. You know, could you imagine being the 5,000th person in line if they just said, okay, everybody line up? But they divided everybody up into smaller groups to be able to handle the situation just a little better. And the Bible tells us that after Jesus blessed the bread, after Jesus gave thanks, what did he do? He gave it to the disciples. And the disciples in turn did what? Gave it to the people. Work with what you have. Because Jesus encourages us and wants us to be involved in his work. You see, I'm quite sure it would have been no problem at all for Jesus, who could supernaturally and miraculously reproduce this food and use such a small amount to feed such a large number of people, to have distributed it supernaturally as well. Did he really need the disciples to go and find the little boy? Did he really need the disciples to help distribute the bread and the fish? I think the Lord could have taken care of that in any number of ways supernaturally. But what did he do? He said, I need you to do this, and I need you to do this. And he involved them in his work. He says the same thing to you and me today. God could do any number of things to bring salvation to mankind. God could do any number of things to spread the gospel to the world miraculously, supernaturally, but God uses you and me. Because he wants us to work with what we have and use what we have to bless others. And that young boy maybe didn't realize that's what was going on at the time, but I certainly hope that it made a very memorable impression on him, and I think it made an impression on the disciples, and I hope it makes an impression on you and me today. But now lesson number 5, and this will be the final one that we'll pull from our text. We've been using the word have a good bit in each one of these points. You know, work with what you have, use what you have, give what you have. Well, we're going to change that just a little bit. Jesus, number five, Jesus will give us what we need and beyond. Jesus will give us what we need and then some, even more. In John 6, in verse 11, Jesus took the loaves when he had given thanks. He distributed them to his disciples and his disciples to those sitting down. And likewise of the fish, look at the last phrase in verse 11, as much as they wanted. And then it's reinforced in the first phrase of the next verse, and when they were filled. You see, Philip had said a little earlier, you know, just the bare minimum would hardly be enough to feed everybody just a little bit, give them starvation wages. But when Jesus took care of the matter, everybody ate as much as they wanted, and they were filled. You see, in Jesus, we find that he provides full and complete satisfaction. Jesus gives us, yes, what we need, and then some. Jesus blesses us even beyond what we might wish and think. I'm sure, as the description in all the accounts of this in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us, that these people have been with Jesus all day. They were out kind of in the middle of nowhere, so to speak. They apparently weren't very far from civilization, but they were out sort of in a desolate place. There were no restaurants. There were no corner markets. There was no one, you know, with a little stand selling snacks or anything like that. They'd been listening to Jesus teach, and they had been engaged in all that situation, and they'd been there all day. Could you imagine what it's like to have over 5,000 hungry people on hand? You know, sometimes there are just six of us in our house, you know, when the kids were all still at home, and sometimes just one hungry person could undo the whole thing. Could you imagine having 5,000 plus? Jesus knew what they needed. And they were thinking, you know, if we just had just a little bit, you know, if we could just have, so even those disgusting orange crackers with that stuff in the middle that they call cheese. I think it's styrofoam that they painted yellow myself. Just one of those. You know, we'll open a six-pack and give one to each person. You know, and that'll be enough to get us by. Jesus doesn't give us enough just to get by. Jesus doesn't just open a pack of gross cheese crackers and say, here's one. He says, you eat until you're full. And you eat until you're satisfied. As much as you want. Jesus gives us, yes, what we need, but even beyond. Jesus gives us more than we might even think. In fact, as you continue looking at our text, in verse 13 it says, well, verse 12, Jesus says, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments. Now, the text does not tell us what was done with the 12 baskets of leftovers. I just wonder if they gave them all back to the little boy, the one who had shared in the first place. Because he gave everything he had. Don't you think Jesus gave him something in return? And when we give everything that we have, and really, have any of us ever done that, really? Jesus still will give us back more in return. In the 23rd Psalm, the psalmist says, you prepare a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. In the 23rd Psalm, the psalmist says, my cup runneth over. In the parable that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 15, that we usually call the parable of the prodigal son, as that young boy is at the bottom of the pit in the pig pen, The Bible tells us that he comes to himself and he realizes what? Remember in the parable, the father represents God the Father. And when the young boy realizes the mess that he's in and who can help him and bless him with more than he has now and bless him even beyond what he can imagine, what does he say? Luke 15. How many of my father's hired servants, listen, have bread enough, keep listening, and to spare. That's the Father's house. That's how much the Father provides for us. Bread enough and to spare. But you know, this whole time, we've been talking about physical bread. And I just want to remind you, as we really brought out when you read the remainder of chapter 6 this morning, there's a better bread and there is a fuller satisfaction to be found for the one who will faithfully follow Jesus. Something interesting occurred to me as I was reading this text and studying for these two lessons this past week. I'm sure some of you have made this connection before, but it just sort of clicked in my mind this last week for the very first time. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is in a desolate place, and he's fasted for 40 days and nights, and he's hungry. And the devil approaches him and asks him, tempts him, really, I guess is more accurate, tempts him to supernaturally produce bread from the stones or the rocks that were there. And Jesus refuses to do it. Jesus refused to do it because he would not allow the devil to exploit him. He would not allow the devil to exploit his power or to use it for any kind of selfishness. It was a temptation, obviously. It was wrong for the devil to suggest it. It would have been wrong for Jesus to have followed up on it. But here was kind of an interesting contrast, an interesting scenario. Here is an interesting scenario that Jesus is in a desolate place, in a wilderness. He's hungry, and he can supernaturally make some bread, and he doesn't do it. But in John 6, he's in a desolate place, and he has the opportunity to supernaturally make bread, and he doesn't. Because on this occasion, it's to bless other people. It's not an exploitation or selfish use of his power. It is a use of his power to help and bless those who cannot help and bless themselves. Jesus, the bread of life, John 6 tells us, came to the earth not to serve himself, but to serve us, to provide for us, and to bless us. Jesus came to this earth ultimately to die for our sins. And now he is the bread of life, that better bread that provides that fuller satisfaction. Will you and I take the 5 loaves that we have and will we just keep them to ourselves? Will we refuse to share? Will we refuse to be thankful? Will we refuse to acknowledge the giver of all good things? Or will we look at the one who shared all that he had, down to the very last drop of his blood for our salvation, to give us the bread of life for eternal salvation and the ultimate satisfaction, not only now, but for all eternity. Let's be like Jesus. Let's be like this little boy. And let's give what we have and listen to Jesus. And let's follow and obey the Lord and be like Him every single day. This evening, we extend the invitation of Christ. If you are not a child of God, if you will turn from your sins, obey the gospel by confessing those sins and confessing Jesus as Lord and be buried with Him in baptism, you'll be added to the Lord's church to partake of the bread of life, spiritually speaking. If you need to be restored, if you need prayers for help and encouragement in your Christian life and Christian walk, we encourage you, would you come tonight as we stand and we sing.